Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Weber Training teleclass, which is entitled Methods for the Evaluation of Hand Disinfectants, a very topical subject for us in the UK, with the MPSA work going on about hand hygiene and that project really taking hold. I'm your teleclass host today, Maria Banalik, and the other members of the British Teleclass Organising Committee are Debbie King and Lauren Chu, and Paul Weber. Today's speaker is very well known to most of us in infection control. He's Professor Manfred Rotter, and he's from Vienna, and is a very popular lecturer and author. Professor Rotter's Institute of Hygiene and Medical Microbiology at the Medical University of Vienna is at the leading edge of research into hand antisepsis, and it's for this that he is world famous. If you've been to very many infection control conferences, you'll probably have heard him speak in person, and it's always a great treat, and we're really looking forward to hearing him today. Before I invite Professor Rotter to begin his presentation, let me first acknowledge our teleclass sponsor, Deb Limited. It's possible to make teleclass education available to so many people around the world, and for free to people in developing nations, because of people like Andrew Holden and his colleagues at Deb, who are committed to infection control education. Thanks very much for your support of this initiative. Now to present the teleclass, Methods for the Evaluation of Hand Disinfectants from the University of Vienna, I'm pleased to present Professor Manfred Rotter. Professor Rotter, over to you.
Hello everyone, and good afternoon. I'm sitting here in my office at the Institute. This is not as nice as it was last time when I was sitting in the sitting room of my wife. But nevertheless, it's a great pleasure to me to speak to you about methods for the evaluation of hand disinfectants. Now, if we start at the very beginning, what is the aim of hand disinfection? Of course, everyone would ask to reduce the risk of microbial transfer of pathogens via hands in order to prevent infection. Now, this has been known at the end of the 18th and in the 19th century. Names like Thomas Denman, Alexander Gordon, Oliver Wendell Holmes, and of course Semmelweis here in Vienna. He has proven that somehow medical personnel brings pathogens into the vaginal, canal of parturient women, and that hands are important in being the cause or being involved in infection. That was very nicely summarized also by Ellen Larson. So we know we have to do something against this. There are various techniques, of course, non-touch techniques. Don't use your fingers, use instruments wherever possible, or gloves, protective gloves, if they're used the right way. Or we can mechanically remove transient flora from the hands by hand washing, or we can chemically destruct pathogens on the hands. And this was what Semmelweis has taught us. He said, in some cases, hand washing alone is not enough. These cadaveric particles, as he called it, that we transfer via our hands must be destroyed chemically. And that is exactly what hand disinfectants should do. Of course, we do not want to believe everyone and every manufacturer that his product is okay. We want to use properly tested hand disinfection, and there we have two parameters to be measured. The one is the reduction of bioburden, and the other would be the reduction of infections. That would be, of course, the most interesting, because that's exactly what hand disinfection aims at. Now let's begin with our slide 2, where I tried to summarize in vitro methods, possible in vitro methods, to get some information about the antimicrobial efficacy of disinfectants or antiseptics or however you want to call it. Now, there's one possibility, that is to measure the minimal inhibitory concentration of a disinfectant versus selected strains. This is not a very satisfying approach because we can't distinguish between bacteriostatic and bactericidal, and or we should say microbistatic and microbicidal. Now we could measure that, of course. We could measure the minimal bactericidal concentration of a disinfectant versus selected strains. And this is not too bad. It gives at least a certain impression on the antimicrobial activity of a disinfectant. Of course, then we can do better tests like quantitative suspension tests for the bacterial or fungi or virucidal properties. And of course, then we can also do kill time studies. So in order to get an impression on the necessary concentration that will act in a certain time in a cidal activity. We think that effectiveness of hand disinfectants must be proven, and therefore we need tests. And these in vitro tests are not sufficient enough, we think, because skin is a different milieu than a suspension medium, and so several workers, in fact, several schools have chosen to use for the evaluation of hand disinfectants in vivo methods on the skin of, you can use volunteers or you can go into the practice and do field trials. Now we are at our slide 3 where I've tried to summarize that. We can either do controlled laboratory tests simulating as closely as possible practical conditions on the hands of volunteers, or we can do field trials that are, of course, much more difficult to control. But if you want to see the influence on the compliance of the personnel of a disinfectant, or if you want to study whether people like it or not, then you have to do field trials. Yeah, so this is a much better approach, but it still does not answer the question, has this disinfectant any influence on the frequency of infections? So we want to know whether we can bring about a reduction of infections by using a certain hand disinfectant. And this, of course, can only be done in a clinical trial. This is now the slide number 4. In a clinical trial, we can either use a so-called a comparative trial with the aim to show that a new disinfectant, the so-called novum, is significantly better than another one, which we call maybe reference. Or we can do an equivalent study, as it is usual today, where the novum must be at least equivalent to a reference disinfection procedure. Well, the problem is, of course, that clinical trials are difficult to undertake. Think only of the requirements of a proper science test. How it's difficult to randomize. You can't tell a nurse, well, you, by chance, you only care for this patient and for this patient, and another nurse cares only for that patient and that patient. Then the problem of blinding, if you want to compare a wash procedure with a rub-in procedure, blinding is impossible. And then, of course, a third problem is, are the big sample sizes necessary to demonstrate statistically significant differences? Now, I have put on the slide 5 an example. If, for instance, the present ratio of hand-transmitted nosocomial infections be 2%, and we want to reduce this ratio by 50%, that means that the new ratio of hand-transmitted nosocomial infections should be only 1%, then we need, at a certain statistical setting, which is written down here, we need sample sizes of 2,500 patients being cared for, but in each experimental arm. That means with the new and with the old disinfection system. Now let's go to laboratory test methods first. We have to distinguish between two types of hand disinfection. The one is against a transient flora, that is what interests us in the wards mainly, and we have to distinguish, on the other hand, the surgical hand disinfection, or surgical hand scrub as you call it, as a preparation of the hands for the surgical team, where, of course, not only transient flora is of importance, but also the skin flora also of the surgical team. Let's first turn to hygienic hand disinfection that can be done either as a hygienic hand wash with an antiseptic soap, for instance, or a hygienic hand rub, that is so-called waterless disinfection. And we can test both in vitro and in vivo. There are now standards, we have methods to test, or that there are European standards, and there are also some norms in North America. Now let's go to both. Let's first turn to the European norms. And one should mention, of course, that many groups have been working on the basics for these European norms, the Birmingham group, Lowbury and Alif's group, the Vienna group, the German Society of Hygiene and Microbiology, the so-called DGHM. And so much of this knowledge was put into these European norms. Let's first try to speak about bactericidal properties of hand disinfectants in suspension tests. And there is a pre-norm, the European pre-norm 12054. You'll find this on the number 7 slide. Test organisms used, Staph aureus, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, Escherichia coli, a K12 strain, Enterococcus hirae, and at a temperature of about 20 degrees centigrade. We test now for hygienic hand disinfection. We look at the quantitative reduction after 1 minute, and optionally also in addition, half minute exposure. And for surgical hand disinfection, we think we have more time. So in the test tubes, we look at the log reduction after 5 minutes, and optional are shorter times than that. And the requirement is for a rub, we must find a 5 log reduction within these times, and with a hygienic hand wash, a 3 log reduction. Now, we turn over to the in vivo testing, because this in vitro testing is not enough, and we use hands of volunteers. And let's turn to slide 8. We have 2 groups of volunteers. Look at the left side of this slide. The one group is contaminating hands and is drying hands for 3 minutes. And then we are looking for pre-treatment values. What do fingertips give off by a 1 minute rubbing and kneading the fingertips, including the thumb, on the bottom of a petri dish. And then the actual disinfection follows, which the half of the group does a reference disinfection consisting of rubbing in 2 times 3 mL of isopropanol 60% by volume, doing this 2 times, so a total time of 1 minute. And after that, we go again in a petri dish filled with a sampling fluid and rub for 1 minute the fingertips. And then these sampling solutions are quantitatively cultured. At the same time, the product under test is tested about the same way, following the instructions of the manufacturer, how to use it, but it is not allowed to use this disinfectant longer than 1 minute. Now, we can do this either with hygienic hand wash, that means with an antiseptic soap, or with an antiseptic rub. One norm would be the EN1499 for the Bosch, and for the RUP it would be EN1500. Just to summarize all that, look at the slide number 9, please. So we have a group of 12 to 15 volunteers, and as an artificial contamination, we use Escherichia coli K12, which belongs to risk group 1, so it should not be pathogenic. The recovery system is done by the fingertip rub before and after treatment, just as I have shown to you. The application of the product is according to the manufacturer's instruction, and the reference is done as I have shown to you, but with the hygienic hand wash, we want to prove that any antiseptic soap is significantly better than unmedicated soap. And because antiseptic soaps are expensive and they don't do their job, then we don't want to use these antiseptic soaps. The requirement is that the tested product must be significantly more efficacious than the soap. And we have looked how good does this method discriminate between the two means, log reduction means of the product and the log reduction mean of the soap, and that is at least 0.5 log would be recognized as being statistically significant different. Now the hygienic hand rub is with the same method. The only variation is that the disinfectant is rubbed into the hands, but the requirement is different. The requirement is the product must not significantly be less efficacious than isopropanol 60% by volume within 1 minute. This is on slide number 10. One can, without any problem, test the product only 30 seconds, but if it is used for 30 seconds, it must meet these requirements to be not significantly less efficacious than isopropanol used for 1 minute. We have tried whether this method works, and we have done a parallel testing or multi-center testing, well, only 3 centers. You can see this on the slide number 11. That's the one, the colored one. You can see VMB, that means Birmingham, Mainz, Vienna, so 3 labs. And you can see that we have tested the mean log reduction of phenolic soap, a povidone iodine soap, an ethanol 70% plus chlorhexidine 0.5%. Then the isopropanol 60% is our standard, therefore we have so many points, because with every of these other agents, the standard had to be tested concurrently, and M-propanol 50%. What you can see from these log reductions, that M-propanol obviously is very good, and the great mean being 5 log reduction, and the least effective are this phenolic soap and also this povidone iodine soap. And in between we have our isopropanol standard and also the ethanol 70%. Okay, if you now believe that we could compare the log reductions achieved in Birmingham and in Vienna, then you're wrong. That is the great problem. One can't directly compare results produced in different laboratories. And you can see this when we do an analysis of variance. This is slide number 12. And we look whether the 5 agents give significant differences. Oh, yes, they are. You see, we have a very great significance. And also between the volunteers, we have a significant difference. Well, we would expect that. But that between the laboratories, we have significant differences, this is very disturbing. Because this would mean that you can't really get a result that can be compared. If you now do and this you will see in the slide 13, this ANOVA with the standardized results, that mean intra-individually, that means per person, you subtract the log reduction with the reference from the log reduction you have achieved with the product. And if you do this ANOVA on these differences, then you see there is still a significant difference between products minus reference, also the standardized data, and a significant difference between the volunteers, but not anymore between the laboratories. That means now the results are comparable between different laboratories if the same reference procedure is being used. Now, this is in short the European method used at the time. These are valid standards which are in force. Now, what is in North America? In North America, we have a proposal by the FDA, first in vitro tests, very big tests. The antibacterial spectrum has to be found of the active ingredient, of the carrier, it means, for instance, the soap, and then of the combination of both. How is this being done? First, MICs have to be determined with 20 microbial species and 50 strain of each species, 9 negative species, 10 gram positive species, and candida, so that approximately 1,000 strains have to be tested for their MIC. Then a study has to be done whether resistance development can be observed, and then with selected strains, a time kill study has to be done. You find this on the slide number 14. Now we go over to the in vivo method, because our American colleagues also think that in vitro results alone not really mirroring what happens on the hands, and they also use volunteers. Now, this has been originally an STM standard, which with healthcare antiseptic drug products can be tested for their efficacy. Now, if we follow the standard, then we need approximately a total of more than 100 volunteers for the test preparation, for the positive control. Contaminant bacterium would be Serratia marcescens or E. coli can also be used. In addition, the contamination and application is somehow funny, I think, because it has to be done 10 times on an experimental day where test and control have to be done in parallel. But in great difference to the European method, these are two collectives, two populations of volunteers, which I think is, well, a great effort anyway. The sampling is done after a first artificial contamination, then we have the baseline. And then further samplings are done after the first, the third, the seventh, and the tenth contamination and the following wash or rub. And the required reduction is after the first hand wash or hand rub, a 2-log reduction is required, and after the 10th, a 3-log reduction is being required. Now, these requirements seem really very low to me, since in our experiments with water and soap alone, after 1 minute, we reduce the release of test bacteria from the fingertips by 3-log, only by soap and water. And with our reference rub used in Europe, isopropanol 60% used for 1 minute, 4 to 4.5 log. So this is much bigger. And another illogical thing, why should the efficacy be better after the 10th? Of course, I know one wants to show cumulative effects, but isn't the first patient as important as is the 10th? So I think this is not really necessary to have a cumulative or sustained effect in the ward, because the disinfectant must work from the first moment on very quickly, and the first patient is as important as is the 10th. Now, there is, of course, also another standard, ASTM E2276, which is similar to the standard which is used and has been described by Sattar for virus eliminating tests. We will come to this in short. Now let's look at virucidal hand disinfection tests. This would be the slide number 17. Now there exist suspension tests and there exist in vivo tests. Now suspension tests, to my knowledge, is a pre-norm, a European pre-norm in vitro using at the moment still poliovirus, adeno5, and a 4-log reduction is necessary. The poliovirus will have to be exchanged against another enterovirus. ECBO has been proposed for that. And the German Association of Veterinary Diseases also tests with polio, which also will have to be exchanged, adeno, vaccinia, SV40 virus, and also a 4-log reduction is being required. At the moment, there are no in vivo tests on the hands in Europe as standards, but some people work on that. There are in vivo tests, and there is the finger pad test being developed by the group around Sattar, testing adeno, human rhinovirus, and hepatitis A. To my knowledge, the requirements are not defined, but usually one compares with disinfectant that has been or is regarded as being effective. There is a whole hand test, which was used by Steinmann, and there is now the ASTM standard, also testing rota rhinoviruses, using the whole hand, which of course is much more difficult because you need a lot of inoculum. The finger pad method is usually the preferred one. Now, if we go through this test, then we see the following. First, hands of at least two volunteers are being prepared by washing hands and then by treatment with ethanol so that the bacterial load is very low. And then test areas are being marked by pressing open tubes against each finger pad. So you can see a nice circle. And then these areas are being contaminated with 10 microliters of virus suspension. And then on the thumbs, one tries to immediately elute the virus. That means, well, we come to virus elution later, so that you know what has been in this 10 microliter of virus suspension. And on the other fingertips, the test area is being dried for about 20 to 30 minutes, and then the wet virus suspension from the thumb is immediately after contamination being eluted, whereas the dried virus suspension, one finger is being treated with water, 10 seconds of exposure, by turning a tube filled with water of standardized hardness 40 times or so around, and the product is used on other fingertips and also for 10 seconds, and then the fingertips are rinsed with water of standardized hardness, and then also from these fingertips the virus is being eluted by turning a bottle with elution fluid with 40 invasions for 10 to 20 seconds, and then the virus count comes in virological methods. If you want to be sure that the surgeons and the surgical team uses the right method, the right disinfectant, then we also have to test these procedures. I prefer to speak not only of disinfectants, but of a whole disinfection procedure, because this always belongs together. You can use lower concentration, but if you use it for a longer time, then you can get the same effect. So the whole procedure has to be regarded. Now, for surgical hand disinfection, look at slide 21. The in vitro method are in Europe the same in vitro methods as for testing for hygienic hand disinfection. For in vivo, we have a similar arrangement as for the hygienic hand disinfection. Look at slide number 23, but we do not use an artificial contamination. On the contrary, hands of volunteers are being washed before the experiment, and again, the population of volunteers is being divided into two groups, one testing the reference and the other one concurrently testing the product. And after 1 week, that is important because the skin flora has to be regrown, after 1 week, they do the same test, but now with inversed roles. That means who has first been testing the reference is then testing the product. Okay, so a crossover design. Now, what are we doing? The clean fingertips are being also sampled 1 minute in 10 ml of broth, and then the disinfection follows. Here we have the reference disinfection is different from that in hygienic hand disinfection in that we keep hands wet with 60% N-propanol, not isopropanol, but N-propanol for 3 minutes. We take as many volumes of 3 ml as are necessary to keep hands wet for this time. And after that, we use the split hand model. That means one hand is immediately after treatment being sampled, whereas the other hand is being gloved, and after 3 hours we do the same, we sample them. So, and the other half of the volunteers is exactly doing the same, but with the product. Okay, in slide number 24 you have a summary. Volunteers, we use now 18 to 20. Test organism is, of course, the resident skin flora. Recovery, again, by fingertip rub. And the application is I told you. Now, how is the requirement? A product must not be significantly less efficacious than the reference. And this is true for the immediate effect and also for the 3 hours effect, on the other hand. There is only the option, but it is not necessary, if there is the claim that a surgical hand scrub has a sustained, or the, you can also call it a persistent effect, then it must prove that it is significantly more efficacious than the reference after 3 hours. Why is this that we do not require a sustained activity of a surgical scrub? This is the reference, the alcohol, the N-propanol, 60% used for 3 minutes, is that effective that it takes hours to reach baseline. And you will see this in a later slide. It is usually, we think, not necessary to have more than that, than the alcohol efficacy. But if, for instance, very long operations are being planned, it is possible to use an alcohol, for instance, plus an agent that has a sustained activity. I will show you this later. It is possible, of course. Does this method work? On slide number 25, you can see the following. We have tested 4 different methods. The one was CHG is chlorhexidine gluconate soap, 4%, isopropanol 70% by volume, ethanol 85% by volume, and our reference, N-propanol 60%. All of them have been tested for 3 minutes, used for 3 minutes, in 5 laboratories. You see here different symbols. And also for the left and right hands. And what can we see? We can see that the least effective is chlorhexidine soap with about 1.1 log reduction. And isopropanol 70% comes second. and then we have ethanol 85%, and then we have the N-propanol. And this sequence, range of order, was the same in every laboratory, in each of these five laboratories. And again, we have the problems. We cannot compare log reductions achieved in the one lab and produced in the other lab, because they're so different. But you see this in this ANOVA on the slide number 26. If you standardize the results by subtracting intra-individually the reference values from the product values, then you can see in slide number 27 that we have significant difference between these disinfectants or these procedures, but no difference anymore between the laboratories, and there were no difference between the hands anyway. Left and right is the same. And here on slide number 28, you have an operation characteristic. How good is the discrimination? How good can we distinguish that a product mean log reduction is really significantly below the reference? Well, this is the case when you look at the desired power. This is 0.8 or 80%. And I told you that we are working with 20 volunteers. And when you go down from this point, then you find that the discrimination power is 0.5 log. So everything above 0.5 log difference would come out as a significant inferiority of the product in comparison to the reference. Let's go to slide number 29. We have the least effective method is a 5-minute hand wash with soap and water, only about a 0.4 log reduction. And under the glove, you see that within 3 hours, the bacterial release goes up. And what is the best what we can do? If you look down, then you see that N-propanol 60% is the best with an immediate effect of about 2.6 log reduction. And of course, alcohol has no sustained activity, so it goes up under the glove. But if you add, for instance, chlorhexidine, then you can even have a long-lasting reduction under the glove. And in between, then we have various alcohols and other concentration. Isopropanol, 70% is a bit less efficacious than is the 60% N-propanol. And 60% isopropanol is less efficacious than is the 70% isopropanol. And then you can see that povidone iodine soap is significantly less efficacious than is the povidone iodine aqueous solution, but both is much less efficacious than is the N-propanol. And chlorhexidine has a rather poor immediate effect of about 0.8 to 1 log, but it has a sustained activity. You see the bacterial release from the hands does not go up. Let's turn to testing in North America. Here we have originally an ASTM standard, which has been taken up by the FDA and is proposed now. They say one should test with about 100 volunteers, can be even more, the test substance, approximately 50, and against a positive control, which is very good. But if you want to include a placebo, you need another 50 volunteers, so maybe end up with 150 volunteers. We are testing the normal resident, hand flora. The application is according to the manufacturer's instruction, and the baseline is being done 1 week before the test, and as a positive control, any FDA-approved antiseptic is being accepted, and all parameters must be the same as for the product. And it is required that the testing is concurrently. Now, there's a difficult schedule for disinfecting and sampling. As a whole, we have 5 days to test, and we have 11 disinfections, one disinfection on day one, 3 on day 2, 3, 4, and 1 on day 5. The immediate effect should be tested immediately on day 1 after the first disinfection. Then only sampling is being done. And on day 2, sampling is done immediately afterwards and also 3 hours and 6 hours after wearing gloves. Day 3 and 4, there is only disinfection. And on day number 5, there's one disinfection, but sampling also immediately afterwards, 3 hours afterwards, and 6 hours afterwards. And now look what they require. The immediate effect on day 1, one log is being required, and after 6 hours, baseline should not be reached. On day 2, end of day 2, a 2-log reduction in comparison to the baseline is being required, and on day 5, a 3-log reduction is being required. I do not understand that. Does that mean that on Fridays, that is the day to operate on private patients, and day 1, only one log is being required? So I really don't understand this. Well, you might be interested to hear that the WHO is presently producing a guideline for hand hygiene, a global guideline for hand hygiene, where also these testing things are being described. So this will come, I hope, still this year. Didier Pittet is the one who leads the whole experts group, and I hope you will be able to read this in short. Now, this was what I wanted to explain to you, and I hope it was of some interest to you, and I can answer, if I can, answer various questions.
Thank you very much, Professor Rosser, for that really interesting teleclass. It's the second time you've given a teleclass, and I'm sure it won't be the last. We had a discussion this morning in our study that we're doing today about the problems of getting surgeons to change their practice. Do you think that's a great concern? They're very used to using soap and water over here, and we foresee great difficulty getting them to use an alcohol disinfectant instead of the traditional methods. Have you come across that problem?
Yeah, I know that. Well, in German-speaking countries, probably since 40 years, the alcohol has been in use. But of course, there are surgeons who really do want to wash hands, and they use antiseptic soaps, either chlorhexidine soap, triclosan soap, or maybe also povidone-iodine soap. The hand washing itself is senseless. You have seen the poor effect of only using soap and water. The American surgeon has taught us that 6 minutes washing hands with soap and even a brush will only reduce the bacterial release by half. Now, what is this? This is nothing. From 1 million, you come down to 500,000 and so on. So we really need the chemistry. Of course, washing is a ritual for the surgeon. And you will have problems to get them to the alcohol. But you may then convince in that alcohol is usually much better tolerable to the skin if proper preparations are being used. You can't use the alcohol on its own. That would kill your, destroy your skin. But if you use proper preparations, then they are usually better tolerable than is hand washing. And this has been shown in Finland, and others have also published this. Perhaps this might be an argument for you.
Yes, thank you very much. That's very, very interesting. And another practice we've seen slipping in is the use of these rubs on gloved hands. Do you have anything to say about that?
This would be a possibility, of course, for the hygienic hand rub. Yeah, yeah. If the quality of the gloves are good, then one could do this several times. The alcohol will kill the glove with time, and it gets porous, so one shouldn't try too often. I know people like to do that, especially dentists like to do that. I would not do it if I change to another patient.
Thanks again to Andrew Holden and to Deb for their sponsorship of the teleclass. Thanks to everyone who's joined us, and a really special thanks to Professor Manfred Rotter for the time and talent necessary to put this teleclass together. Goodbye, Professor Rotter.
It was a pleasure. Goodbye.